Stepping into the boardroom meeting, stepped out of character too. Put a red slipper on one foot, on the other a bright blue shoe. Stress at work was at a peak. I could hardly contain my grin at the shock on each and every face the moment their boss walked in. Eyes moved slowly from my feet to capture my innocent stare. Each one of them convinced, I think, I was totally unaware. Unable to contain myself, my laughter bubbled free. At my release, they followed suit, relief conjoined with glee. Our memorable meeting followed with coffee and donuts for the staff. Office policy now includes time every day to laugh. And that is a poem called Office Policy Change, and that's by Annabelle Sheila. And that's a great way to lead into today's episode of HR Oxygen. Our guest today is Jennifer Currents. Now, she's the founder of the Currents Group. Jennifer is a coach. She is the author of the book Developing Business Acumen. She is someone who I've seen speak at the HR conventions, and she is someone who is a really great resource when it comes to teaching you really how to be the boss, how to have the business acumen to get that seat at the table. We'll go over some really important thoughts. She'll give you some really transferable strategies, and you will end your time listening to this podcast with the confidence and the competence to get out there, learn to be a business person, and earn that seat at the table. So you know what happens next. We're going to start talking to her instead of talking about her. So sit back, buckle up that seatbelt, make sure your purse is underneath the seat in front of you. It's time to take off.
Should the cabin lose pressure, oxygen masks will drop from the overhead area. Please place the mask over your own mouth and nose before assisting others. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast, the show focused on the overworked, overwhelmed, and underappreciated HR professional. And now, here is the host of our show, the Boss Builder, Mac Monroe.
Jennifer Currents, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mac. Nice to be here.
It's really great to have you. I want to just share with the listeners how I met you. I was at the HR Florida conference, I think it's 2 or 3 years ago, and I was going to go set up the room, and I saw this lady up on the stage shuffling some papers, and so went up to talk, and it was you, and you mentioned that you were going to do a talk on business acumen, which I had no idea what that was, and so I stayed and sat in it, and it was phenomenal. It was great, and so we've sent some emails, and I ran into you in Las Vegas, and so here you are. You're on the show. The topic today is how to build business acumen, how to earn that seat at the table. And I've got a bunch of questions for you, but I'd really just like to find out more about you. So Jennifer, tell us about yourself. Tell us about your company, your experience, your book, your talks, and all those good things.
Okay, I will try to keep it short. But I started off my experience as of all things, an English literature and French major in my undergrad. And then I went from there to Accenture World Headquarters in Chicago and worked administratively for a while there and really got some wonderful experience in HR, mentoring programs, creating new employee orientation. And that was the springboard for me to get into human resources. So I was a human resource professional for over 20 years. I guess you could say I still am. But now I work for myself. So went through the financial industry, food and beverage industry, nonprofit. And now I own a training company. So I go into companies and I help growth-oriented leaders and growth-oriented companies to learn how to be better communicators and to use coaching techniques to do that. So my credibility for that is I am a certified coach through the International Coaching Federation. I'm an adjunct professor at the University of Tampa teaching principles of management and human resource management. I'm an instructor for SHRM, and I'm a master certified trainer for the Predictive Index. So I get the chance to do a lot of different things and meet a lot of different people. And the reason I do what I do is so that I can continue to learn. So I envision my job as a two-way street. I get to train people and I get to learn from them at the same time. I love my life. It's great.
Well, then I'm guessing you probably have clients. Are they in the Tampa area or do you travel around too?
I travel around. Yeah, I have a lot of clients here. I'm very well well integrated into our local SHRM chapter as well as the state chapter. And I get a chance to do a lot of speaking engagements through them. And I'm on the SHRM Speakers Bureau as well. So being able to stay in that HR realm, but I do get a chance to travel a lot as well. So just last month, I was speaking in Columbus, Ohio at their local HR chapter. So you get a chance. I actually was on Business Acumen too.
That's great. Is that the topic that you most often talk about at the SHRM conferences?
You know, it is. I get a lot of requests for developing business acumen, which is the title of my first book, and really focusing on teaching HR professionals how to get that seat at the table that you were referencing earlier, and how, also how to keep it. You know, there's a lot of, it's not a flip of a switch. It takes time, it takes patience, and it takes intentionality on the part of any professional. You know, we're talking about human resources, but there's also getting business acumen is available for every single person in the organization, whether you're a janitor or whether you're a senior level leader or anywhere in between.
Yeah. So what made you kind of focus in on the business acumen part of it? Because your background is pretty amazing. You're teaching management, you're doing coaching, you're teaching communication. How did the business acumen piece become one of your focal points?
So let's see, when did this start off? In 2015, it was the first year I spoke at the annual SHRM conference, and I met the publisher, the SHRM publisher at the time, and really just shook his hand and said, "Hey, I want to write a book for you." And he's like, "Well, what's your idea?" And at that time, they had just come out with the new SHRM competencies. So SHRM has, as we know, they have the technical competencies, but they took a look at the HR professionals in the world and they said, "Hey, we have two different HR professionals. They're both certified. They're standing side by side. They have the same amount of technical expertise, but one of them is so much more effective than the other. What in the world is the difference?" So they analyzed this data over the course of 3 or 4 years and came up with 8 different behavioral competencies. And they have some in the business cluster, they have 3 in the interpersonal cluster, and 2 in the leadership cluster. And so when I was speaking with the publisher, knowing that this was brand new and they didn't have any material yet created around it, see, this is where my English literature major comes into play, right?
I'm guessing you probably did your own proofreading, right?
Yeah, I did. And when I sent it to the editor and it came back all marked up, I'm like, dang.
Yeah, payback is it, you know what, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a lot of red. Oh, well. But it was great. I loved the whole process. And working with them and the publisher at SHRM is amazing, and all the people that I get a chance to work with there. But I pitched them. I'm like, "Well, let's talk about business acumen." I had just finished my MBA a few years prior, and I was teaching at the university. And so I knew that there was a need for it. And in my work with HR professionals, I knew that they were asking for it. That's when the seat at the table was really coming out big, and the CEOs are saying, "We need an HR professional who can help us with the workforce planning and understanding all of the different aspects instead of just being the compliance police. You know, we need them to understand the whole business." So it was perfect timing for me and a perfect opportunity, and I grabbed it.
That's great. Yeah, I've seen the book there. So what year did you write the book? Has it been a couple of years?
Yes, it came out in 2016.
Okay. And I know you have a new book coming out. I want to ask you about that here in a little bit. But you've been in the field for quite a while. So you had mentioned, "We want the seat at the table." Previously, they were the compliance police. In your experience, how has the role morphed for HR people? Because I know some of the people listening to this podcast might be in it for the second or third year, and they probably don't even know what the roots are to this profession. But you've seen a little bit, right?
Yes. And it started back in the, gosh, what was it, the 40s or the 50s, where the first HR degree, I think it was up somewhere in Cornell or something, Cornell University, and they called it personnel. You know, it was industrial organization or something like that. So really focusing on the more industrial aspects and the compliance piece. And if you think about what was happening in the 60s, that's when Title VII came out. So it was very compliance driven. and very personnel oriented from the standpoint of filing, you know, paper pushing
party planners.
Yeah. So really focusing on that, okay, we just need somebody to maintain all of these files for us and make sure that we're not discriminating against anybody. Keeping the documentation that Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 requires. And then, of course, since then, it's really blown up and there's a lot more compliance pieces. But I believe, and having been teaching in the university system for 10 years, I've been able to see this transition of the millennials coming in to the organizational world and really challenging those of us who are Gen Xers, like myself and baby boomers, to think differently. Like, okay, why do I have to be there at 8 o'clock and leave at 5? But I can still do great work from 10 to 7. And we're starting to see, or flexible workspace, you know, let me work 10 tens. Or why do I need to mark every 15 minutes that I have my PTO? And just focusing on the productivity aspect as one example. There's a lot of different things that I think the younger generation is pushing us out of our comfort zone and having us rethink things. But and not to say that every job can have that flexibility or the remote work opportunities, but when they can, why not? You know, why not be able to look at some different things? And if you're in an organization or if you're in a position where you just need to put the work effort in, do it whenever you need to. If it's my kids, I have an 18-year-old and a 21-year-old, and my daughter is consistently, leaving me text messages at 1 or 2 in the morning, and I get them, of course, at 6:30 when I wake up, and I'm like, and I'm texting her and she's not responding back to me until noon. I'm like, what are you doing? But it's just a different way that they work. And so she creates her class schedule at college to fit within where she wants it to be. Fortunately, she's been able to do that, but she's very effective at that. And that's when she works best. And she's surviving and thriving in that kind of time schedule that she works out for herself. So I kind of got off on a tangent there, but really the point is that when we have this ability to think differently and to think bigger picture, it makes us, which is what our CEOs are asking of us HR people now, being able to really focus on all aspects of the organization and how they intertwine with each other, then we can be the most effective.
Yeah.
HR professional.
Well, you're right. I mean, the things that get dropped into the lap of the HR professional, from the people I talk to, I don't personally work in HR, worked in an HR department for a couple of years, but it's kind of like that TV show on History Channel, Pawn Stars. You know, you never know what's going to come walking through that door. And yet everything gets kicked over to HR. And now for the first time, people are saying, you don't know enough. You need to know more about this business in addition to compliance, planning the parties, whatever the thing may be, looking at work schedules, looking at how people work. And so, yeah, it is probably one of those roles that is, in my opinion, probably the most important one. The table should be built around you. In a perfect world, that would be the case. But there's still an adjustment. And I have worked with enough people that said, boy, they hired me because they wanted HR to come and put things in order. And as soon as I did, they wanted to get rid of me because nobody could do fun stuff anymore. So there's a dichotomy, right? We want you to put down the law, and yet we don't want you to enforce it too strictly. And the prize is that seat at the table. And so the business piece, when I sat through your talk, I have to admit, I thought, you don't know what that is, you know, that some of the things you were showing. And then I realized, if you don't go to business school, you don't really learn that stuff. So thank goodness you have got a great program for that. Now, your book focuses more on small business HR professionals. Why is that?
Well, that was the space that SHRM was really focused on. So they have an HR department of one, which is roughly a third of their membership as HR department of one, a small business space. And they didn't have anything that was focused on that segment. And I spent about 7 years as an HR department of one. So I know the trials and tribulations. I've created HR departments from scratch, and being able to use that knowledge and also with my MBA, you know, my business school knowledge, being able to marry the two of those and put it into a format that was easy for small business professionals to be able to understand was exactly what Sherm was looking for. So I have three books in that series that all focus on the business cluster, they call it, of business acumen. Then the second one is applying critical evaluation. And the third one is mastering consultation as an HR practitioner. So really focusing on how you can be a great partner and a great leader in your organization simply by knowing. It all starts off with understanding your business, which is the business
acumen. Well, on that note, on business acumen, so what area of the business do you find that most HR people really need the most help with?
You know, it sounds cliche, but I found it to be true, and that is the financial aspect of it. So when I ask people who come up to me afterwards and they're like, oh, I really enjoyed your talk, and I'll ask them, well, what did you enjoy most about it? And they're a lot of the time they say that they really enjoyed learning the financial aspect of it, the financial piece, and what it means to HR. So in my business development class, I talk about the four different, we hear financial statements. And I'm sharing this because I was the same way. I didn't know what financial statements were when I had first started out in HR. And it took me a while to learn that there's actually four of them. There's the balance sheet, there's the income statement, there's the statement of shareholders' equity, and there's the statement of cash flows. So what I do in my presentation is I talk about the income statement. I really focus on the income statement and what it means to HR. So if we have income, which is our top line revenue, income coming into our organization, and then if we take out expenses, which are operating expenses, which is where all of our labor costs are, which is why it's really important for us to analyze the internal and equity pay, which is why our training programs get scrutinized. And anytime we want to spend money on people, it's coming out of our expenses. So we have income minus expenses equals our net income, our net profit, which is also called the bottom line. So of course, businesses want to have that bottom line. And anytime we spend money, too much money, that's why we get the scrutiny. And I also talk about that when we're talking about sales, you know, and marketing and how HR can relate to those people. And just understanding where all of the different parts are going and what they're focused on can really help HR be a better partner to the organization.
Do most HR folks realize that the HR department itself really doesn't generate revenue? I mean, is that ever come up where you're the overhead that is like, you better produce something because you're costing me money?
I don't think that, in my experience, HR people really stop to think about it that way. You know, in my experience, it's like, oh yeah, I'm in HR, and of course you need HR. So I'm going to come in and do my job. And they don't stop to think about what it means to the business. So when you think about your effectiveness, especially in sales. So I like to tell the story when I was in an HR, my first HR department of one. Well, actually, it's my second HR department of one, but it was their first HR person. So it was a smaller organization. They had never had HR. They had a compliance issue and threatened to be sued. So then they're like, oh, maybe we need to have HR. So I walked in, brand new HR professional with this organization. I had several years of experience under my belt at that point, thank goodness. And the sales guy who had been there 15 years with the organization, you know, never had HR before, he looks at me and he says, what do you do anyway? I was like, oh my, okay. This is going to be an uphill battle. But if you stop and think about, like, he's out busting his behind to make all of these sales and he's, you know, squeezing the customer for every last penny to get that profit. Now, here's me, one more operating expense because they have to pay for my money, you know, my salary, but I'm not adding anything to the revenue. So I'm basically taking away from what he's working so hard to do. So understanding that and how it falls out on the income statement or the profit and loss, P&L, we call it, then knowing how he's thinking about that, now I understand, okay, I have to prove to him that my existence helps him make more money. So how do I do that? Right. So that's the crux. And that's a great example of business acumen and understanding how different organization or different departments within your organization think about where they are. Because all we know is our own self, what's lying right. in front of us.
That's
right?
The reason you get hired, because you have that specialized body of knowledge. Well, let me ask you this. If you were to run across this sales guy today, 20 years later, with all of the experience, if he asked you that question, what do you do here? How would you answer that differently today? Besides none of your business.
Yeah, I think when he asked me that, I just kind of gave him a blank stare. I'm like, I do, because the natural reaction is hiring and firing. That's what HR does. Well, we don't need to do that. We've been doing it fine on our own for the past 20 years. I think now the way I would answer that question is I help you do your job more effectively. I make your life easier.
Wow. When was the last time an HR person made someone's life easier? That's going to be like, when you hear that, you better stand by. They're going to fall over.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But how would you qualify that though, Jennifer? How would you tell them? Because what HR does is sometimes they make things a little more difficult. You're not able to do it the way you want to do it anymore. So it's harder. So is there an answer to that? I'm trying to be the devil's advocate on both shoulders right now.
Oh, please. Yes, please. Because, you know, the people out there that are listening to this podcast are thinking the same thing. They're like, yeah, I could never say that because I get pushback. And here's what you do when you get pushback. You push back. So using a coaching technique, if he were to ask me, you know, well, how are you going to do that? I'd say, well, you tell me what are some of the pain points that you're dealing with right now in your job? How can you make your job easier? What are some of the obstacles that are in your way that are prohibiting you from having your best month ever? And just learning more about his business can help me help him, whether it's through training, whether it's through hiring more people, whether it's through a workforce planning reorganization. So maybe the customer service people are too focused on fixing problems when he really needs some more administrative support to get his filing done. A lot of different things can come up in that conversation. So in that role, interesting you mentioned this, Mac, because in that role, my boss, the CFO, was like, okay, so welcome to the company. I'm like, thanks. and he said, after about a month or two, I went to him and I said, I need some training. He's like, okay, what do you need? I said, I want to go on a ride along with the sales people because I've never worked in the food and beverage industry before. So I want to really learn. I want to dig in. I want to go and live a life in the day of a sales guy. And he's like, all right, that sounds great. I think that's a really good idea. Guess who he signed me up with? Yeah, he signed me up with a "what do you do anyway" guy. So it was an amazing experience, and I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, it's the best training I've ever had because I lived in, I asked the questions, and he told me about the seasonality. He told me about why the products were placed here. I went on a client visit with him, so I understood from the grocery store what the buyers were looking for and the questions that they were asking and what he had to deal with. And I learned more about olives than, because that's what we sold, than I ever thought possible. I didn't even like olives, but I learned to like olives after that.
Well, I mean, it sounds like the best way to learn the business and to build rapport. So what would you say to the HR person that says, well, I would do that, but I don't have the time to go out on a sales call?
Do you have time to look for another job?
Absolutely. That I think that really is your job. I mean, what a better way to get the seat at the table than to understand what sales do. I was with a customer of ours up in Connecticut this week, and I can tell you the person in HR there took me through the machine shop where they make these little connectors out of metal. And it seems to me she probably could build one herself, and yet she does their HR. And that, you know, there's credibility right there. Then there's, you have not only a seat at the table, you might get one at the end, you know, with the padding in it too. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
Oh, it absolutely, it's beneficial for you, the HR professional, to know these things. Here's how it played out for me. about a year and a half later, we were hiring for a new VP of sales. And so I was, of course, the one and only HR person still, and interviewing all of these people. And they were from all over the country. And these experienced, seasoned food and beverage salespeople asking me these questions about who's our top clients, what percentage of our business do they have, what percent of market share do you have, what are the different channels that you're in, what's the lag time between getting a product from Spain all the way over to the warehouses, how many warehouses did you have? I could answer every single one of those questions. And I had these VP of sales professionals that I was interviewing tell me, more than one of them told me, wow, I have never talked to an HR person who's known as much about the business that you do.
Now that is a testimonial right there, isn't it?
That is a testimonial. And that's the only way that we can learn is by going and doing. So that's not the only way. That's the best way that we can learn is by going and doing. And the point that I hope to drive home with all of this is that it drives me insane when I'm talking to HR professionals and they say, well, my employer won't let me do that. They won't pay for that. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. Well, bull honky, I say, go out and do it yourself. You have to ask. You are in charge of your own career. Nobody else is. So if you want to take a step forward, if you want to progress in your career, you have to own it. And if that means paying for a course on yourself by yourself, then do it. Save up the money and do it. If that means there's free courses out there. You can go to Coursera.org and get some great knowledge from, you know, a lot of different really smart people as a way to kind of build a base to understand some of these things, like what's a P&L do.
Yeah, or they could just hear you speak at a SHRM conference, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Or they could buy a book. Exactly. So let me run a scenario by you, and this is a shameless pitch, but let's say that somebody listening to this says, you know, we'd really like to do the Boss Builder Academy, but you know, my boss, he won't want to spend money on management training, but I think we really need it. Is there a way to twist that person's arm to where they would do it? Aside from the fact that, you know, we sell some really quality training, which you should really take advantage of, right?
Aside from that.
But I think this will be not just training, but anything else that an HR person says we should do. It could be, we want to host a team building event where we build bicycles for charity. How do they make the cakes besides just saying it's a nice thing to do?
So a couple of different ways that you can attack that, but they all come back to one thing. And that is, you have to speak the language of the senior leadership team. And this is I talk about this in my mastering consultation for an HR practitioner book. But if you're talking about, this will help our employees be friendlier with each other and smile more when they're at work. And the CEO doesn't care about that. I mean, yeah, they care. What they want to know is, how does this affect our business? How does this affect the productivity and increase our net profits, and how does it help us grow and get greater market share in our industry? So when you understand what the strategic goals of the organization are, both short term and long term, then you can write your story, whether it's giving volunteer days to the employees, or whether it's creating a training program or hiring more staff or whatever the case is. If you can speak their language and hit their pain points, then you've got a sale. So you have to know, you have to do the work beforehand to understand the strategic, short-term and long-term strategic goals of the organization and what their core values are and what they're interested in.
That almost sounds like you have become a salesperson, right?
Yeah, you are. I think Dan Pink wrote a book called Everyone's in Sales.
Well, that totally makes sense. You understand the audience and sell to their pain. So yeah, even though you went into HR because you didn't want to go to sales, guess what?
Right. And, you know, sales is sometimes a scary word for people. They don't, I'm not in sales. I don't want to do that. It's not about sales. Let's call it influence. It's about having influence in the way that that you are going to grow as a leader and as a professional is to have influence. And the way you have influence is by speaking the other person's language and understanding. So one of the tools that I teach in my curriculum is ask, 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 suggest. And it's one that is usual that people really like because it's easy to remember. It's hard to say, easy to remember. And simply, before you give a solution, just ask three questions beforehand. Okay, well, what are your pain points? What are our long-term strategic goals? Where do you hope to be a year from now? And understanding the answers to some of those strategic, long-term focused questions can help you then critically evaluate what it is that you need to focus on and then prepare your consultation practice for that.
Yeah. And it sounds like this is something that any level of HR could be doing, right? I mean, because when I think of the business acumen course that you do at the SHRM, I'm guessing that has business credit, which is usually the more senior people. But I think somebody who's an HR department of one or somebody even new ought to be focusing on this too. At least that's how I would see it. What do you think?
It's for anybody who wants to grow in their position. So if you're happy where you are, then yeah, keep doing what you're doing. But if you want to grow and if you have that quest for continuous learning and you're looking for other opportunities and you want to be able to just really have as many roads open for you as possible, then yeah, you've got to learn how to speak the other person's language, and you have to be able to do the work intentionally and just ask the questions. I think sometimes in my coaching, when I coach individuals, I think sometimes people don't ask questions because they don't want to look stupid. Like if I'm asking the question, that means I don't know the answer. Well, yeah, of course it does. Yes, ask the question so you do know the answer. And if you're nervous about asking to your boss, then find somebody else to ask. If you don't want to ask your CFO, I've gotten this before. I tell people, talk to your controller or your CFO and ask them to sit down with you and go over the financial statement so you can learn it. They're like, oh, they would never do that. My CFO would never give me that information. Okay, then watch a YouTube video. Talk to your aunt's cousin's niece who's an accountant. You know, there's a lot of different ways that you can get the information. And the easy way isn't always
the best
way.
The term for the audience of this podcast and probably most of your clients is HR professional. And I think if we really focus on the second piece of that title, professionals, they're good at what they do. And you don't get good at what you do by going to a SHRM conference once a year and then burying yourself behind a closed door the rest of the year. A professional practices their craft regularly. They try new techniques. And so If you call yourself a pro, you don't just do it once or twice a year. It sounds like you ought to be developing all the time, right?
Every single day. Yes. So there's a lot of different steps that you can do in order to enhance your business acumen. Number one, you can ask for help. Ask for someone to sit down with you and read through the balance sheet or income statement. It's a lot more fun than trying to read the Wall Street Journal and figure that out that way. A lot more fun. Really think about what that means to you in HR and how your programs or whatever you're working on can affect what's happening from the business strategy to get to the business results, because everything in between is about people. And so, you know, I think of it a lot as we're at the end of football season, right? So you think about the quarterback of the football team. And the quarterback of the football team knows where every player is going. They know when they're going to run straight, when they're going to cut. They know who's going to rush turning left or turning right. And they know what the strengths are of each player on the team and who they're up against with their opponents and what their strengths and weaknesses are. So they get coached with this information. They don't figure it all out on their own, but they know it. And I think HR is the same way within an organization. You talked earlier, Mac, about, you know, HR is really important piece to a company. And yeah, they are, because the HR professional has to know what the salespeople are focused on, what the marketing people are working on, what the operations team is doing, what the logistics team is doing, what the customer service people, what some of their pain points are, what the accounting staff, what the accounts payable and accounts receivable procedures, what are we doing with that? So really understanding how all of the different departments, what they do, what they're focused on, and how they work together. What's the, I call it the, like a food chain, you know, farm to fork. Thinking about your product in that terminology from a farm to fork type of a mentality, and understanding where everything goes and what everything, how everything happens, can help you understand where you can be most successful in helping integrate and align the company as a whole. Breaking down those silos.
Well, I just love the analogy of the quarterback, because I tell you what, when there's a team meeting, the quarterback's at the table. So if that's how mm-hmm. you see yourself, yeah, you better be good enough to sit at the table. That's a great analogy. I love that.
Because I don't
do what you do. I do something totally different. But I want you to use it, because the people listening to this podcast, again, we always talk about this, the overwhelmed, overworked, underappreciated HR professional. It's time to get you back in the game mm-hmm. and get that credibility where it should be. Mm-hmm. So you've got resources, you've got the course that you do at the SHRM conferences, you have the 3-part book series. Tell us about your next book.
So the next book I'm working on with SHRM is at the very, very rudimentary stages right now, but it's really going to be focused on new managers and helping new managers new leaders, I should say. So HR professional or whatever department you're in, being able to have an exercise every day to kind of work through and give you tasks to help you grow your business acumen, to help you become a stronger communicator, and to learn some of those coaching techniques like ask, suggest, and some of those other things that go along with that to really help you grow as a leader and
as a professional. Something to look forward to then. So, have you got a kind of a ballpark date when this is coming out?
My hope is to have it out by the SHRM annual conference in June, but that is yet to be determined.
Good. Okay.
But it'll
great.
Be sometime this year.
Well, you've given us some pretty good tips and techniques. Yeah. And so you specifically, Jennifer, how can you help our audience? What can you do for them? More importantly, then, how do they find you? How do they get copies of the book? When can they see you next?
Okay. So you can access my book. You can purchase a copy on Amazon. All you need to do is look up, you can look up Business Acumen Currents. You can do a search for just my last name, Currents, or Jennifer Currents, which is spelled C-U-R-R-E-N-C-E. And you can look me up that way on Amazon. You can also go to my website, which has links to everything. And that is currentsgroup.com, C-U-R-R-E-N-C-E group.com. You can send me an email at info@currentsgroup.com. And let's see, what else? There's one thing that I really want to share with everyone. If you're interested in learning more about business acumen, I have a online course that is 5 hours long, 5 business credits, and that's available for you. It's kind of on the way out, so if you can't access it on my website, just send me an email and I'll make sure that I get it to you, and it's already pre-approved and everything. There's my book, of course, and I also do on-site. I can do a 4-hour, half-day on-site training course for you and your HR team or your management team, whoever you want to learn some of these business acumens. I can business acumen styles and some of the things that you can actually do to improve your business Great. Acumen. I can do that. But yeah, you know, we have, if we all have an improvement of 1% per day, think about where you'll be at the end of the year. And this is such a great opportunity. You know, I love this time of year because it's a chance to, okay, year's behind me. I get to look forward to the year before me. I get to pat myself on the back for the things that I've done and to really lace up my running shoes for what's yet to come, right? And really focusing on some of those things that you want to do. Now's a great opportunity to, what am I going to do today? One thing to improve my business acumen, whether it's reading an industry magazine, whether it's looking at having lunch or coffee with the head of sales and just asking a bunch of questions, whether it's doing some research on some of the other competitors in the area and what are their benefits plans or what are they doing to attract new and greatest talent. Go to a networking event, learning new things there, going to the annual SHRM conference. So there's a lot of things that we can do 1% per day. And by the end of the year, we're going to be three times where we are right now. So I really encourage everyone to take a little time out for
wise words from someone who has been there and done that and now will show you the way. Jennifer, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with us today. And again, if you're listening to this, please reach out to Jennifer. At a minimum, start going to your local SHRM meetings. Go to your state conference. Go to the Florida, HR Florida, because I think that's you're always there. And hopefully San Diego.
I am.
Which San Diego, the people there complain if it gets colder than 70 or warmer than 75. So there's a good chance June's going to be gorgeous in San Diego. Hopefully, we can go and see you there as well.
Yeah,
well, Jennifer, listen,
so
thanks so much. Yeah. And we look forward to hearing more about business acumen through all the things you do and your upcoming book.
Thank you, Mag. It's been such a joy speaking with you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast. We hope you found something today that will relieve your stress, feed your soul, and pump you up to face another day. At Boss Builders, we want to let you know that we appreciate the hard work you do every day as an HR professional. And, as a reminder, always make sure to adjust your own oxygen mask before attempting to help those around you. Be well.